And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Another edition of the Awakening Podcast here on American Family Radio. Great to be with you again today. I'm your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson. By the way, for the last couple of days, I've been substituting for Abraham Hamilton III on his program. I've had a tremendous amount of fun and honor to sit in the chair that he occupies for a couple of programs. And I really believe he's one of the most brilliant people that you'll find anywhere in the media. And thankful to God for an opportunity to substitute for him. So thank you, Abe, and thank you, American Family Radio, for having such quality people such as Abraham Hamilton III on the air. And I just do my best to try to keep up, folks. So let me say, not patting myself on the back, but I certainly don't have any problem patting him on the back because he deserves it. Speaking of a pat on the back, I do want to thank the National Association of Christian Lawmakers. If you are not familiar with them, I hope you will become familiar with them, because I really believe they're going to prove to be one of the most important organizations in our country in the years to come. They are a group of Christian legislators that have come together under the leadership of former state senator from Arkansas, Jason Rapert, and they are trying to craft model legislation that reflects our Judeo-Christian values and heritage in a whole variety of areas. You name it, education, life, family, foreign policy, to the extent, because, you know, states have to get involved with foreign policy, even though that's not the state's primary responsibility. Immigration has really brought that home to the state. So crafting legislation that reflects our Judeo-Christian values and our constitutional principles, and they are doing a magnificent job. Well, they were kind enough to give me an award last Friday, named after my favorite American historical figure, George Washington. And let me see if I want to get the name of the award right, because it's terrible. It's a rather long name, but I don't want to mess it up. It is, and you all forgive me that I don't know it off right off the top of my head, but I could say it and then maybe get a couple words wrong, and then I'd not be doing them a service. It's called the George Washington Lifetime Christian Leadership Award. The George Washington Lifetime Christian Leadership Award. I am humbled by the fact that they chose to give that to me on Friday night and gave me an opportunity to speak to several hundred people in their group. And I am not a legislator. I've run for office, but I've never been elected. And they have me on their national advisory board advising these legislators, most of whom are much younger than I am, as you can imagine. But I'm happy to do anything I can to help them, because I really believe what they're doing is where the battle is. If we can get states and local governments to reflect our Judeo-Christian values and constitutional principles, we will save this country. If we neglect that and put all of our energy only into the national office, only into the House, the Senate, the presidency, we could end up with a Pyrrhic victory in which we win the battle and lose the war. So what they're doing is extremely important. Not that the presidency and the Senate and the House are not important. They are. But a lot of times the real public policy issue is fought out in the local areas. I mean, right now, for example, in spite of President Trump being in office, We've got states that are passing all kinds of draconian policies with regard to parental rights, to exclude parents from what the sexual discussions that teachers and administrators are having with their own children. I mean, passing laws and regulations that say the parent doesn't have anything to say about it, the parent can't opt the child out, the parent, or even that the parent can lose custody if the parent does not do what the school or the school board or the administrators or that state law or that city ordinance demand, which is that the parent acquiesce to the madness that they have tried to rope the child into. Jane, you're a boy born in a girl's body, so we're going to help you correct that. Joseph, you're a girl born in a boy's body. We're going to help you correct that. Well, don't tell your parents. They're too stupid to understand any of this. They're not sophisticated enough to get it. But we get it, and it'll be our little secret. That, folks, that is wicked. It's evil. It's abominable. Beginning at 3 years old, applying these children, indoctrinating these children with that wickedness. It's just, it's ridiculous. Well, the National Association of Christian Lawmakers is addressing that at the local level by coming up with model legislation that is rooted and grounded in Christian values to help pass laws and policies that protect the rights of parents, protect our freedom of speech, protect our freedom of religion, protect our Judeo-Christian heritage and culture. No, they're not trying to establish an official religion, but they are trying to get public policy to reflect who we are as a people. And we are a Christian nation culturally. Culturally, we are a Christian nation. And so God bless them. And I just wanted to publicly thank them for a wonderful award that I am not going to stand up here and say, which I fully deserve, because I just don't feel, I never feel as if I do enough to try to help and serve our country and help and serve the American people, the nation which I love, and the people which I have the utmost admiration and respect for, because I just think because of our values, our country is the greatest place on earth to live, and every single one of us should try to contribute something to keeping it so. Every single one of us. And I feel I've done something, but I don't feel I've done it enough. So, but thank you anyway. It's always an encouragement to me. You know, when you're getting death threats and you're having people tell you how horrible you are, having some folks say, we appreciate you, that's never a bad thing. So believe me, I don't want to in any way trivialize it. It means the world to me. All I'm saying is, you know, we don't do these things to get awards. We do them to please God, and we do them because we are trying to reflect our deeply and profoundly held values, the things for which we're willing to give our lives. So that's what it's about. So thank you, Jason, and thank you, National Association for Christian Lawmakers. Check them out. Just Google them, National Association of Christian Lawmakers. By the way, NACL. That's the chemical designation for salt. And praise God, that's what they're being salt. Okay. All right. With that said, the first thing I really want to jump into here with you. Oh, and by the way, let me also remind you, this is what the left and the LGBT, which I call the SPCG, Sexual Perversion Child Grooming Movement, calls Pride Month. Have you heard my acronym for Pride? If you've heard me on the radio, then you already know it, because I think I've said it. P is for perverse. R is for raunchy. I is for illicit. D is for depraved. And E is for evil. Now that's it. Perverse, raunchy, illicit, depraved, and evil. Now who in the world wants to celebrate that? But that's exactly what they're celebrating. And we're not joining in. We're celebrating family as God designed it. So from Mother's Day to Father's Day, my organization, STAND, Staying True to America's National Destiny, has declared this Celebrate Traditional Marriage and Family Month. Well, we're lifting up family the way God designed it. One man, one woman in the bonds of holy matrimony, bringing their children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now that's the model, and nothing that human beings in their twisted, wicked imaginations, nothing that they come up with to rival that or to counterfeit that is ever going to be effective for anything but destruction. So thank God President Trump did not sign any proclamation like some of these other bozo presidents we've had signing proclamations of perversion. Because that's all they are. So you want to learn more about Celebrate Traditional Marriage and Family, you want to go to our website, standamerica.us, standamerica.us. Okay. You know, my friend Andrew Waldman has to say, he says, how dumb can you be and still breathe? Well, the situation I'm going to present to you now, which is what I want to spend a few minutes talking about, is one of those situations for calls that calls for that question. This ABC News reporter, reporting on the riots in LA, which, by the way, they started apparently Friday night and escalated in their violence until the National Guard was sent in, and then the president threatened to send the Marines in. It looks like the Marines are not going to land on site unless and until the situation seems to call for it. But you know, the other interesting thing is, as soon as these rioters, as soon as these ne'er-do-wells, these looters, these vandals, these criminals heard that the Marines were coming, apparently that was enough to cause them to find something else to do. Because the numbers of people showing up apparently has diminished, at least as I am recording this, which is shortly before you will hear it. Now, maybe things change rather dramatically and suddenly, but so far it does seem to have a restraining effect on their riotous activities. You know, I've said Ronald Reagan was called the great communicator. We ought to call President Trump the great negotiator. President Trump knows how to get people moving. Moving his way with the right incentives, the right consequences. But he really does know how to get a situation going. So everybody, does he have a right to send in the Marines? Does he have a right to send in the National Guard? But the moment he took action, things began to calm down. Look, they've been throwing rocks at cops. They were pushing and shoving cops. Not to mention assaults on ICE agents trying to do their jobs. But when President Trump flexed and said, okay, I'm going to send the National Guard and I'm going to send them the Marines, apparently they started having second thoughts. Now, they're still going on and there's still potential for violence and disorder, but they now have the threat looming over their heads that the president is going to call in my Marine Corps. And again, he's not calling in the Marine Corps to kill people, to hurt people, but calling in the Marine Corps as a show of force to say, you will not get away with assaulting police officers and behaving in a lawless fashion without there being consequences, namely arrest, incarceration, trial, and if found guilty, you're going to be put in jail. That's the message that they need to hear. In fact, have I shared this scripture with you already? Because I probably have, because since the Lord really showed it to me. And I'd read it before. I know I had, because I've read the book of Ecclesiastes before. But suddenly this scripture just leaped off the page at me. You know what I mean? You had that experience. You're tooling along, Cadillacing along in the Bible, enjoying yourself. And all of a sudden you read something that you know you've read before, but suddenly it leaps up into your heart, just grabs you. Well, that's what Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11 did to me. And here's what it says. For all of these George Soros prosecutors and all of these folks who think, well, as long as you don't steal more than $950, you can just go on stealing. As long as these folks believe you shouldn't be arrested just because you assault a police officer or have a tussle with a police officer. For all these folks who believe that, well, if it weren't for poverty, nobody would commit crime because people would be good because they wouldn't need to. And therefore, they shouldn't be put in jail. We just need to dismantle capitalism, which causes the people to do bad things. I mean, you name it. All of the lawless justifications that the left comes up with. Here's what Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11 says. Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. I mean, did you hear that? Because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You know what that's saying? It's saying when you don't punish people promptly for their evil doing, you cement their hearts to do evil. In other words, you harden them in their evil. Now, that's the word of God, folks. And you know what? We've seen that in operation. Now, most of you would probably say to me, yeah, we kind of knew that. I mean, that's kind of common sense, right? You know that. You don't punish people for their wrongdoing. Guess what they do? More of it. But a scripture that says it that emphatically, that directly, that distinctly. So it's a biblical principle. It's not just common sense. It's a biblical principle. When people commit crimes, you punish them promptly. Because in doing so, you keep their hearts from being set on evil. I'm convinced that a lot of the worst of the adult offenders are people who were coddled when they were kids and committed terrible crimes when they were kids. But it's a child. And, you know, you slap them on the hand and you send them back out there. And then they grow and the crimes grow. And before you know it, they're robbing, raping, murdering, abusing, you name it. This reporter, to get back to my point, I hadn't lost the point. At ABC7, an ABC affiliate network in Los Angeles, had the nerve, or maybe I should really just say the stupidity, to say this. Talking about the behavior of the so-called protesters, demonstrators, and he said, this situation, quote, could turn very volatile if you move law enforcement in there in the wrong way and turn what is just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn into a massive confrontation and altercation between officers and demonstrators. I mean, did you hear what I just, this is a quote from this guy. He says it could turn volatile if you move law enforcement in there in the wrong way. Well, I don't know what the wrong way is. And you turn what is just, get this, just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn. And the police, not these people burning cars, but the police, turn it into a massive confrontation. Now, where do I begin with this? First of all, who set the fires? How would you feel if somebody came and set your house on fire? And the police came or the firefighters came and they started trying to move people away. And somebody says, watching your house burn to the ground, right? Somebody says, well, I'm just here having fun watching it burn. You think one or two things, right? Either that person set the fire or that person is a pyromaniac, a sick individual who enjoys seeing the lives of others ruined by fire, enjoys seeing the fire eat up everything somebody has worked so hard for. They're having fun watching cars burn. How'd the cars get on fire? They didn't set themselves on fire. You know, they're calling these driverless cars, I forget what they call them, but the rioters' strategy was to call these driverless cars to the scene of the riot, and then when they get there, they trample the car and they beat on the car with hammers and they set the car on fire. You know, having fun. And then they step back and watch their work, admiring their work. To say it's just a bunch of people having fun watching cars burn. That burning car could cause something else to catch fire. That burning car could explode. That burning car represents somebody's investment, hard work, to obtain that piece of property. But oh no, they're just having fun watching cars burn. The very people he's talking about watching, having fun watching cars burn, you can rest assured, those are the people who set those fires. They set them and then stepped back and watched. And to me, a person who talks like that, and I am not kidding with you all, folks. I mean this seriously. A person who talks like that might be a pyromaniac himself. This reporter, the reporter who said that, that reporter might be a pyromaniac. Because who in the world sits back and enjoys watching someone else's property go up in flames? I mean, it may have been that there's nobody who was doing that, but this reporter certainly saw that as an attractive proposition. Maybe he wanted to have fun and watch cars burn. Maybe that's what he was really saying. Folks, this just goes to show what I've said before. These people are in a cult. This is a cult. See, a cult defines fun differently than you and I do. Because what the cult defines as fun is what furthers the interest of the cult. You and I are looking to do something else for fun that relaxes us, that we enjoy. Watching somebody's car burn, watching somebody's house burn, does not constitute a reason for peace or joy or relaxation or anything else. It's troubling. It's disturbing. And when you know who did it, even worse. Because now you know who's supposed to be responsible and who needs to be held accountable. But these folks, it's clear, you're not going to hold anybody accountable for having fun, are you? I mean, this stuff, folks, is utterly insane. And here's another stupid one. This is the guy who works for the Marxist Socialist No Brains channel. And that's exactly what it is. Shall I prove it to you? That's exactly what it is. This guy, Eddie Glaude Jr. Eddie Glaude Jr. He likened ICE agents arresting illegal aliens for deportation. He likened that to catching slaves and taking them back to the plantation. He likened it to the fugitive slave laws. I kid you not. But you know, as I've said many times before, his problem is not with those ICE agents ultimately. His problem ultimately is with you and me. His problem ultimately is with America. That's his real problem. America. And look, he proves it at the end of this little discussion. He says, here's the thing, Donald Trump, as a political charlatan of sorts, gives Americans license to be who they really are. Donald Trump's a Nazi, we're all Nazis. Donald Trump's a racist, we're all racists. Donald Trump's a xenophobe, we're all xenophobes. Donald Trump's a would-be dictator, we all want a dictator. Now, all of that, all of those are lies out of the pit of hell. I mean, those lies come from the mind of Satan himself. He says, Donald Trump's giving Americans license to be who we really are. No, we're not people who love God, love our country, love our fellow Americans, and love even the people who don't agree with us. No, 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 that's not who we are. The left will tell us who we are. And what the left says is that we are people to whom Donald Trump has given a license to do all kinds of monstrous stuff, because that's what the implication is. He says, this reminds me, I'm quoting him now. He said, this reminds me historically of a clear analogy. He says, when the nation rises up, some of this is misprinted, but when the nations rise up in these political factions, dividing between slaveholders and slave catchers, for example, he says, when they made everybody with the fugitive slave law, all of us had to. Okay. At one point, everybody was forced to obey the fugitive slave law. He said, if someone escaped, all of us had to return that particular piece of property to these folks with ICE running around LA, forcing people to make choices. Will they post their friends, their neighbors, their family members? Will they confront these folks? And they're terrorized. You see people crying. You see babies crying. These people come in here and do this blank. What are they supposed to do? And then you just add the police into that. We know that the country is about to pop. So I'm sitting here trying to figure out, excuse the cuss word, I'm sitting here trying to figure out, right, what will the country stomach? Are they going to allow this man to do this? And the answer I keep coming up with is yes. These Americans are some bad people. And when it comes to bad people doing bad things, do I think the Americans will do it? Yes. Because he, of course, is the paragon of virtue. He, of course, is the sum of all righteousness. and MSNBC. Oh, what a guiding light they are. The man sitting right there in the heart of Sodom and Gomorrah and doesn't even have the good sense to realize it. Folks, this stuff is just, it's beyond the pale. And again, it is cult-like thinking. How in the world can you compare catching slaves in a system where slavery was legally sanctioned, not only in America, but all over the world? How in the world do you liken that to lawful, authorized ICE agents going out and catching criminal, illegal aliens? How do you liken the two of those? Particularly aliens who, A, have a criminal record, have already hurt, harmed, raped, robbed, and perhaps even murdered. They have a deportation order that has already been handed down, so they are supposed to be out of the country. Now, when ICE agents show up to enforce the law, but again, the Democrat Party is lawless. So they come in to enforce the law, and they're like slave catchers. Look. You wonder, how in the world do people become that misguided? How? Well, look, I have only a partial explanation, but I'm clear about this. Here in California, the whole entertainment industry, the academic industry, you name it, they are all polluted with this, the academic industry, if you will, and they are constantly brainwashing people with it. Constantly. I said, that's why California is a one-party state. California is a one-party state because the Democrats made the decision that we've got to get rid of the Republican Party, and one way to do that is bring in a bunch of illegal aliens, have them vote, and they'll vote for us, and they'll vote these other people out, and then we can take over the state completely so we don't have to answer to anybody, in effect. That's what it's all about. It's about power. I mean, don't forget that I've said, even before you allow an illegal alien to vote, and I believe many of them are voting, I believe large swaths of them are voting, because I believe they've been told in the quiet corner, look, this is not entirely legal, but the worst you're going to get is a slap on the wrist. Just tell them you made a mistake. But in the meantime, you could help us win an election and we will look out for you. And so off they go to a voting booth and they show their little Virginia ID or whatever it is. Go right ahead, take that booth. Person votes. Comes out and says, I'm shocked at how easy that was. And their sponsor says, and you know what? We're going to make it easier still. Folks, it is insane and it's irrational when you think through it, particularly you think through it spiritually. But if your worldview is selfish and self-possessed, if your worldview is that there is no God, there is no absolute morality to which I must adhere, there is no ultimate right or wrong, and one could go on. But you've come to those conclusions. What do you need God for? There is no God, they would say. And therefore, we can do whatever we want to do, they would say. I've seen it happen. Where atheists or non-believers are forced to confront a believer and they feel the power of God and the power of the anointing on that person's life. And they have one or two reactions. Either this gets mad enough to just spit and holler. Or they say, you know what? This looks pretty good. I can set up here. I can get support here in my evil, which they don't explicitly think of it that way. Oh yeah, I can move. Woo, man. This is it. I can practice my sick ideology. I can even find human beings to practice it on in a whole variety of ways, and won't get in trouble for it. Isn't that exactly what cults do? And at this point, folks, I think the Democrat Party can be analogized to the Philistines before Samson brought the pillars down and brought the whole building down on top of their heads. I think they can be compared to the Amalekites that Esther ultimately outgunned because Haman wanted to kill her. Well, he wanted to kill all the Jews. He didn't know she was a Jew. But it's the same basic idea. You insinuate your way into the position of power, and then you use that power to destroy any enemy, and particularly to destroy the truth. And that is exactly where we are. Catching illegal immigrants is the equivalent of slave catching. This stuff is so preposterous. You don't know whether to laugh at these people and their stupidity or cry over their misguided vision of the world at large. Well, MSNBC's Glaud started that whole, maybe he got it from somebody else, but started the whole discussion. So now we're going to take ICE to another level. Not only are they bad because they're interfering with these wonderful people who've just come over the border just to build a life for themselves. Yeah, so they are being hunted down. That we're told they're being hunted down like they're fugitive slaves now. Oh, really? But look, anything, say anything, do anything in order to try to hurt President Donald J. Trump, because he is the champion that is standing in their way from having the whole ball of wax under their control. The primary person. I mean, I am too, you are too. They don't realize, with or without President Trump, we're not rolling over. With or without President Trump, we're going to stand up for what we believe. Period. Now, thank God we have a president who I really believe loves our country, loves our people, and a president who is quite comfortable with. And I won't say more than that on this because I'd only be speculating, but a president who is very comfortable with evangelical Christians. Very comfortable. Have you seen the clip that they're playing where apparently it looks as if they're praying for him? I hope I'm not mistaken about that. But it appears that they are praying for him. And when they're done, they all collect these, I guess you'd call them scarves, handkerchiefs, that appear to have come from him, although you can't quite be, you know, sometimes you see these things and you can't always be precisely sure about, you know, what they're trying to depict. But, you know, they're showing these clips that just absolutely, I mean, they enthrall you with the way President Trump deals with things, the way he deals with people, the way he conducts himself. I mean, the man is ultimately relatable. But they're trying to make him out to be a monster. It is I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. So, look, the fight's not nearly over, folks. It is not nearly over. We have to be committed to casting these bad ideas on the dung heap of human history, never to rise to trouble our country again. That's what we've got to be after. So that people look back on the moment when these leftists were just absolutely beside themselves with a kind of cult-like hypnosis that has them in a complete fog and seeing reality for everything except for what it is. That one day they all wake up, or maybe the next generation wakes up and looks back and says, can you believe people actually thought like that? And somebody else looks and says, I know it's hard to believe, isn't it? But that's the way they thought. It's weird. Well, thank God we don't think that way now. No, I don't even know how we did then, but how anybody did then, but thank God we don't anymore. That's where we've got to go. Yeah, I mean, can you believe that people actually thought it was okay to kill your unborn baby and that was a good thing? Yeah, no, I don't believe it's hard to believe, isn't it? You believe that somebody actually thought that somehow a girl could be born into a boy's body, a boy born into a girl's body, that somehow, some way, the spirit inside the person was of the wrong gender, like God had made a mistake. You believe? It's hard to believe that anybody thought that. Yeah, but they did, didn't they? Yes, they did. I'm sure glad we don't think that way today. You know what I mean? In other words, where we look back and we see it with such clarity. I mean, look, we all look at this now. The very idea of owning another human being as property is abhorrent to me. And I guarantee you it's abhorrent to every normal American in this country. Normal. Now, you've got some people who are, again, the morally insane. But for normal people, they would find it abhorrent. And yet, there was an era in our country, and of course still is in parts of the world, where people thought it was perfectly normal and perfectly okay to own another human being as property. So that you have the power of life or death over that person. You tell them when they get up, you tell them when they go to sleep, you tell them what work they do, you tell them when they quit, you tell them what they can eat, you tell them what they can't eat, you tell them where they can go, you tell them where they can't go, because they're not a human being. They're a piece of property that you own and control. Now, you and I, our moral sensibilities say, how could anybody think that was okay? But people did. But look, I was just looking back historically at some of our ancient philosophers, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle. Aristotle, by the way, thought that slavery was a good thing because he thought that there were people who should be slaves because they didn't know they couldn't do anything else. And so they might as well be slaves. And not just that they were incapable, but they were not intelligent enough to be anything else. They had no inherent value to make them worthy of being anything else. So they should be slaves, not from the point of view of the slave, but from the point of view of the slave master. I mean, in Aristotle, we think of Aristotle as one of the most brilliant minds that ever lived. But on that issue, he was dumb as a rock. And we've got the same situation happening in our country right now. We got smart people like Elon Musk. And by the way, I think I'll end here because I haven't talked about Elon. If you all recall, I said several weeks ago, and I'm pretty sure I said it on this program, we got to pray for Elon Musk. You all remember that? We got to pray for Elon Musk because Elon Musk is an atheist, and we must never forget that. He is on his way to hell. And the fact that God is using him doesn't really mean that somehow he's bought his way into heaven. He's lost. And when a person is lost, you just don't know, because you see, what you see is their true convictions or their true principles or their true ideals and philosophies cannot be trusted because they're not rooted and grounded in anything absolute. I am pro-life and will always be pro-life because God is pro-life, and God says, I knew you when I formed you in the womb, and all your days were fashioned when as yet there were none of them. Psalm 139. You can't shake me from being pro-life, because it's not a matter of a conclusion that I've come to because I happen to be conservative. It is based on the truth of God's word. You can't convince me that two men can ever be married or two women can ever be married, because the word of God says they cannot. And you can't convince me that a man's born in a woman's body, a woman into a man's body. That's nonsense. Jesus said at the beginning, God made them male and female. Therefore shall a man leave his mother, father, and mother and cling to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. That's it. That's all. You can't shake me from those views because they're not my opinions. They're rooted and grounded in the word of God. End of story. End of discussion. Now, I don't care what the Supreme Court says. I don't care what the legislature says. I don't care what anybody says. The word of God is spoken. That's it. Well, look, that's going to do it for today. I did a little free associating there, but I think you can say that the clear theme is that the godless are continuing to show their godlessness with what they're doing in these riots in LA, and how the left is responding to what they're doing, and where the hatred is being directed against the ICE agents, those bad people who are enforcing the law, not against these lawless rioters who are burning the American flag and spitting on it. Oh, no, no, no. They're peacefully protesting. It is a sad state of affairs, folks. But you know what? Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And I am convinced that we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, who always causes us to triumph. Now, that's it. That's how the story ends, no matter what the left thinks. So God bless each and every one of you. Pray for me. Pray for us here at American Family Radio. Pray for our country, because our country needs revival. Our country needs a full-blown, all-out, take-no-prisoners awakening that just sweeps people into the power of the Holy Spirit and causes them to just so God, oh God, forgive me. Yeah, I say when I got saved, this thought just continually ran through my mind. Oh God, I am so wrong. I've been so wrong about everything. And you are right about everything. I repent. Forgive me. That's what our country needs. Because our problem is not racism, our problem is not poverty, our problem is not this, that. Our problem is sin. And there's only one antidote for sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. We sinners plunge beneath that flood and lose all our guilty stains. Hallelujah. That's what we need. That's what America needs. That's what the left needs. That's what the Democrat Party needs. That's what every human being who's ever walked the face of the earth needs. A living relationship with the true and the living God, which can only come through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When you seek first the kingdom of God, all the other stuff that is good for you, at least, will be added. Okay, I said 2 or 3 minutes ago, I've got to go. Now I've really got to go. Listen, you know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, and refuse to back up. Because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless everybody.